I didn't expect to be back so soon. Well, I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad you're glad I'm here. Well, I'll just be out here in a few minutes. But it is a joy to come down here and preach the gospel to you. I think I might have went a little bit too long the last time I was here. I looked at that and I told Vicki, I said, man, I'm starting to go too long. What's going on? Turn to Matthew 15. Matthew chapter 15. I titled this message, Lord, help me. Help me. Have you ever been there? I mean, really been there. To where you really, really needed help. And the only one you knew that could help you was the Lord. He's the only one. He's the only one that can save. He's the only one that can deliver. Oh, and the sooner we find that out, the better. The sooner the Lord brings us to the end of ourselves, which is really a short trip. It's really a short trip. We just don't realize it. But the sooner he brings us to the end of ourselves, oh, the happier we'll be. What a contrast we are going to see here. What a contrast between the self-righteous Pharisees in the beginning of this chapter. You see there in verse 1, then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elder? Putting him on trial. Can you imagine that? Bringing God into question. That's what they were doing. They were so self-righteous that they were willing to stand in the presence of Almighty God, even though they didn't recognize him as God, and bring him into question. What a contrast between the self-righteous Pharisees and the scribes and this Gentile dog. I started to title this, The Master and His Dog. But what a contrast. The one came to straighten him out, while the other came for mercy. The one came to instruct, the other came to beg. To beg. One came with pride and arrogance, the other came with a broken heart. Came in humility and a broken heart. All who come, come one way or the other. One way or the other. Pharisee or publican. One way or the other. In verse 22, it says, and behold, give attention to this. Don't let this pass you by now. There's something going on here. Something worth paying attention to. A woman of Canaan came out of the same coast. No doubt she heard of him and heard that he was in the area. And she cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. She called it what it was. She didn't call it a disorder. She said, the devil has my daughter. That's what she said. The devil has my daughter. Here is something now for us to take note of. A dog and its master. And we're going to watch how he handles her. How he handles her. Now, this woman was of Canaan. She was Greek, a Syrophoenician, a Gentile. She belonged to a cursed people. It says in Genesis 9:25, "Cursed be Canaan." She was a descendant of Ham. But you know that everyone whom God saves, He saves from a curse. Everyone whom God saves, He saves from a curse. And the curse is real. We're not talking about this pretended voodoo curse, you know, somebody's going to put a curse on you, you know. You've seen these pincushion dolls and stupid stuff like that. No. This curse is very, very real. Cursed is everyone who continues not in everything that's written in the book of the law to do it. Have you done it all? I haven't done any of it. I realize when I read the Word of God how much I need Christ and how much I need salvation to be all of grace. When I read scriptures like this, "Be ye holy for I am holy," that makes me want to run to Christ. It tells that adulterous woman, "Go and sin no more." And you know what? He actually meant that. He meant, go and sin no more. God never approves of sin. Ever. In any way, in any shape or form or fashion. He never approves of it. Go and sin no more. Does that not make you feel your need of Christ when you read scriptures like that? Because that's all I seem to do is sin more and more and more. It just seemed like there was no end to it. Now she comes and she cries to him. She cries. She gets violent about this in her pleading. She cries to him for mercy. She's asking for something that she does not deserve. We can beg for mercy, but we cannot demand it. I cannot demand God show mercy to me. I can beg Him for mercy. I can sue for mercy. I can ask Him for mercy, but I can't demand it, or it wouldn't be mercy. And she recognizes His lordship over all. Here's the Pharisees and the scribes who study the Word of God, and they come to Him and they speak down to Him. And here comes this Gentile dog, and she speaks up to Him. She looks up to the Lord. Lord, she recognizes His lordship over all. "Thou art the sovereign." She recognizes His sovereign right to do as He will. When I first heard the gospel years ago from Henry preaching on television, the first thing that stood out was that God could pass me by. There was an Armenian church just above where I lived, and they worked on me hard. They caught me in the living room one time, and they were just two of them, and they were just going at it, trying to get me to make a profession. And I really thought God wanted me, and I was holding out until I heard the gospel, and I realized He'd pass you by. He might save you, and He might not. And for the first time in my life, I became afraid of God. I think I learned something about the fear of God, the fear of the Lord, the beginning of knowledge. When you learn that God might save you, I don't know, I know there's something here lost. God might save you and He may not. He may do that and He may not. He may leave you alone. She comes and she recognizes His lordship. "Thou art the sovereign. All things, all persons are under Your authority. All belong to You." And she recognizes him to be the promised Messiah. Something that the Pharisees and scribes would not recognize. But here this Gentile dog, it's evident the Lord was at work in her. It's evident the Holy Spirit had been teaching this woman something from what she'd been hearing. It's like that woman who spent all of her living and was none better, but rather grew worse. She had that issue of blood. It says she heard of him. And when she heard of him, she came to him. And I have no doubt this woman heard. And her daughter, grievously vexed with the devil, she says, he can do that. He can save her. He can save her. So she recognized him not only as the Lord, but as the Messiah. Son of David. And she asked for mercy on herself. Have mercy on me. Yet she's asking mercy for her daughter. Asking help for her daughter. Here is a good lesson, a good example to every believing parent. This ought to encourage us to seek him to save our children. You asked for it back there in prayer. Save our children. Oh, how we desire that. They are vexed with an evil spirit. Until God saves them, they are children of darkness. And we need to recognize that. They're under the power. They might live under your roof. And you may have control over them. But I'm telling you, they're under the power of darkness. My dad was strict. I mean, he thought he kept a thumb down on us. He tried. He kept a thumb down and his belt loose. Why? Because I was under the power of darkness. I wanted to do things that he didn't want me to do. I'm like, I wish you'd go somewhere. Under the power of darkness. And we have to recognize this. And we ask the Lord, save our children. Save them from the curse. Save them from your wrath. Save them from the devil. Save him, because he's a very real person. It's not a myth. It's not mythology here. This is real. What I'm talking about is real. What she had, what her daughter had, was not a physical problem. It's a spiritual problem. We have to recognize this. It's spiritual death. Spiritual problem. You can't take pills for this. They don't make a drug for this. They don't make a drug for Satan. Cure that. Hey, you can't cure sin. You know, we keep giving all these drugs to take care of the symptoms of sin. Really, I mean, everything we got comes from sin, doesn't it? All these body ailments and sicknesses and diseases. But you can't cure sin. But Christ put it away. He can put my sin away. But she knew that he could cast this devil out. You're the Lord. When you read the Gospels, is there any place in the Gospels where a demon, when the Lord said, come out, is there any place in the Gospels where one demon said, no. No, I'm staying here. This is mine. No, they came out. Where the word of a king is, there's power. And when King Jesus speaks, they got to go. And she knew, this woman, this Greek Gentile woman, knew more than all those Pharisees and all those scribes who studied for, they would study for 26 years before they would begin to teach as a scribe. And they didn't know anything. Can you imagine that? Studying, going to school and studying for 26 years and come out dumb as a box of rocks? I told my son, I told Jeremy when he went to college, I said, there's only one thing I ask of you. Don't come out as dumb as you went in. I'm serious. Now, you may think, well, that's kind of a slam. But I was serious. 26 years. Come out dumber than you went in. Stand there in front of God and you don't even know it. But now listen. He's going to try her faith. This is tough. This is not like... He answered her not a word. The power that's in his silence. She's crying after him. It's a desperate situation. If you ever realize, when a sinner realizes they're lost, they'll realize what a desperate situation is. I mean, when you really, really know it. And he answered her not a word. He will speak when it's time to speak. I want you to get this. For every time he speaks, power goes with it. Every time he speaks, it's full of wisdom and power and truth. I can't say that about me. We can't say that about ourselves. We say a lot of things. If we didn't say any more than what we need to be said, we wouldn't be saying much at all. He kept silent. Here she is, desperate, crying after him, and he answers her not a word. And here also, he demonstrates his sovereignty here. Does God owe me a word? Does the scripture not say that he gives no account of any of his matters? He gives no account of any of his matters. If he answers her, and if he answers me, and if he answers you, it's an act of mercy on his part. In his silence, he reveals to her her unworthiness. Don't you think he's standing there, and I can just see him pierce his eyes just looking at her, piercing through her. This is the one who knows the thoughts and intents of the heart. This is the one who can go straight to the heart. And he looks at her with those piercing eyes. And the longer he stood there in silence, the more she felt unworthy. The more she felt her unworthiness to be there. And she knew, and she realized, that she didn't deserve what she's asking for. Not at all. And she cries to his disciples to speak to him for her. She cried to him and silence. Silence. And they handle it badly. We usually do. She cries after us, send her away. That's how they handle it. The Lord does not save sinners. He does not call sinners and save sinners and then send them away. No doubt they were embarrassed of her. She's a Gentile dog. Their attitude was this: get this dog out of the house. I was telling some people the other day, I have four dogs. I told them if you include me and Vicky, that'd be six, but I've got four dogs, and they come into the house. And they watch TV with, well, they're in there with us watching TV at night. I start saying they watch TV. That's thinking a little bit too much of my dogs. But we let them in. But my parents, they absolutely wouldn't let a dog in the house. They would not let a dog in the house. And their attitude here is get this dog out of the house. Get her out of the house. She's crying. Listen, she crieth after us. Don't flatter yourself. She's not crying after you. She's crying after him. She's not crying after us. Us can't do anything. Remember that man who brought his son? He was throwing himself in the water and in the fire. And he said, I brought him to your disciples, but they couldn't do anything. And the Lord said, and I love this, bring him to me. Bring him to me. And he asked that father, he said, how long has this been? He said, of a child. And the Lord commanded that evil spirit to leave. And it left. She's not crying after us. Can't do anything. Can we? We can tell you about him, but he is the only one that can do it. He's the only one that can save. His righteousness is the only righteousness that there is. There is no other righteousness. Self-righteousness is no righteousness at all. It's just another form of sin. It's a higher form of sin. It's the worst of sin. She cries after us. She's crying after him. She needs him. Him. And here's his answer. It's a tough answer. It's a tough answer. He answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He said to his disciples, and no doubt she heard what he said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The first word she heard from Christ was on election. You shouldn't tell sinners the first time about election. Well, he did. He did. Evidently, she needed to hear that one. She knew, listen, here's what she knew. See, he said, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. She knew she was a Gentile dog. He's making her realize. Now, I'm telling you, he's making her realize you don't deserve what you're asking for. You don't deserve what I'm about to give you. That's what she's going to come to realize. You don't deserve what I'm about to give you. It's another trial of her faith. You can't run a genuine, bona fide sinner in need of mercy off. You can't run them off. Here, notice some of the words here. He said, I'm not sent, yet I am sent. Christ was sent by the Father. He tells us here. Sent by the Father to this world to redeem, to establish the righteousness, to shed his blood for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Who are they? I'm looking at them. If you believe the gospel, you're an Israelite. You're a true Jew. If you believe the gospel. And he was on a mission with a purpose to accomplish. He didn't come into this world just to do some good. He came to save, and that's what he's going to do. He's going to save. That's the reason why this world's still standing. He's still saving. He's still saving. Well, that ought to encourage us to keep on coming and keep bringing our children and keep sitting under the gospel. Who knows what God will do? He's still saving. He came to save lost sheep. And she's sitting there thinking, I'm a dog. I'm a dog. And when he said this, when he said, I'm not sent, but the lost sheep of the house of Israel. When he said this, did she get up and say, all right, at least I tried. You can't run them off. You can't run off a good dog. Can't do it. Then came she, in verse 25, then came she and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. Help me. My daughter, the devil has her. That's what she's saying, the devil has her. We need to learn some things from this lady. She came, she said, Lord, help me. It's like Peter when he's about to go down under the water. He said, save me. It's amazing. Spurgeon said, it's amazing how shorter her prayers got as it got more desperate. It got down to the point where she just said, help me. Help me. She recognizes his Godhead. Lord, she cried, Lord, all belong to you, even me, even this dog. I don't know all about this election. I don't know all about the lost sheep of the house of Israel, but I know this. You're the Lord, I'm your dog, and I need help. That's all you need to know. That's all you need to know. That you need him. You need help. You need mercy. You cannot run a sinner off who needs mercy. You don't have to beg them to come down an aisle. You don't have to beg them to do anything. They do the begging. Get the wrong people here doing the begging. She will do the begging. The sinner will do the begging. God will do the saving. He didn't say one thing to her. Now you notice this. He did not say one thing to her that would even in the slightest way encourage her to keep on asking. Keep on coming. He, on one hand, he's discouraging her. He's telling her the truth. The truth is tough on his flesh. Yet on the other hand, he's holding her up. On one hand, he's discouraging her. On the other hand, he's secretly, by his divine power, encouraging her. She keeps recognizing his lordship. Boy, does she keep bringing that up, doesn't she? There's your lesson. She keeps bringing your Lord, his lordship up. But he answered and said, it's like he's throwing rocks at her. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. He's going to bring a real conviction of her unworthiness to be there. It's not proper. It's not fit to take the children's bread, to take their salvation, to take their promises. The children's bread. Christ said, I am the bread of life. And give it to the dogs. If your children are hungry and your dog is hungry, who's going to get the plate? Who's going to get the food? That's what he's telling her. What you're asking for is not fit. Boy, we would all already packed up and left. We just went home and said, he ain't going to do anything for me. But if you're ever desperate enough, you won't. You won't. You'll never leave him till he, like Jacob said, I will not let you go till you bless me. You see, he's working on her heart. This is true heart surgery without any anesthetic. That's what it is. He's going to make her feel every stroke of it. Every cut, she's going to feel it. She's going to feel her complete unworthiness in his presence. Salvation is his to give or to withhold. That leper said, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." But the opposite of that is, if you will, you can leave me alone too. But he's never turned away a sinner who sought for mercy, ever. I tell you this, the scripture teaches us that God delights to show mercy. God delights to show mercy more than you and I will ever delight to have it. More. And she said, "Truth, Lord." Truth. You're right. You're right. It's not. I am a dog. And it's not fit to give me what I'm asking for. Your truth, Lord. Truth. She's not offended. You can't offend a sinner. People who are easily offended just are people who think too highly of themselves. And this woman's in the dust. He's got her in the dust. He has stripped her down and laid her low. He has whipped this dog. She's laying at his feet. "Everything you said is absolute truth. I don't deserve your mercy. I have no right for what I'm asking for. And I am a dog of a sinner. I am. But I need you. She wants the master and his dog. Someone said, probably shouldn't tell you this, but someone said, if you want to find out who loves you the most, your dog or your wife, put them both in the trunk of a car. Hour later, let them out and see which one comes to you. It'll be that dog. I assure you, it'll be that dog. But don't try it. Don't try it. It'll be that dog. She said, "Truth, Lord. Truth." He had her in the trunk of the car. "Truth, Lord." If you'll notice over in verse 12, look over in verse 12 of chapter 15. "Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying?" Boy, he couldn't offend her though, could he? Calling you a dog, a wretch, undeserving, ungodly. What are you asking for? The Lord put her in her place. Every time God saves a sinner, he has to put that sinner in his place. Him or her. That sinner, you have to. We're all out of place. We're absolutely out of place. We think we're something. We think we're somebody. It takes God Almighty to bring us down and show us who we are and who he is. And then we get it right. But she says this, that you know, man, we could learn something here. "Yet the dogs, the little dogs," she says, "eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Their master, you're my master. Save me or not, you're my master. You own me. You own me. "The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, and they who dwell therein." He owns you whether you believe him or not. You're the master. There she sits. For you who have dogs, you can get this in your mind. You can get this. There she sits, begging, like a begging dog, just looking. I got a bird dog, English Setter, to drive you out of your mind when we're eating. She'll sit there and won't bark or anything, but she'll look at you. and she won't take her eye off of you, won't bat an eye. And I don't care if you sit there for an hour, she'll stand right there. I can just see this woman just hoping for mercy, hoping for a crumb. Just a crumb. Just let a crumb fall from the master's table. That's all I ask for. And she fell down at his feet. Finally. There's where he's bringing her to. She recognizes him as her master and waits for a crumb of mercy to fall from his table. But she's not going to leave till she gets it. See, this is what you call violent praying. Have you ever prayed violently? Has God ever put you in a situation? Has he ever brought you into a strait where you prayed violently? Jacob said, I'm not going to let you go. Do you bless me? This ain't happening. I'm not going to let you go. This woman wasn't going to leave. She wasn't going to leave. She was violently crying after him. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. And she's one of them. And look what he says to her. He says to her what I don't believe he ever said to any of his disciples. Great is thy faith. The ones who followed him every day, slept out there under the stars with him, ate with him, heard him, watched his miracles, saw all this. Did he ever say, great is your faith, Peter? Great is your faith? No, he's always saying, why are you so fearful? What's your problem? But this woman, he says, great. Oh, looks like he turns to his disciples and says, pay attention here. Great is her faith. Great faith is found where you don't expect it. We expect it to be right here in the pulpit, and it ought to be. But it's probably some lady out here who just believes God and just takes him at his word. That's what great faith is. That's all it is. Great faith is just saying, well, God said it. That's it. Great because it's in him. Great faith is believing God against all else. Let me close this. This woman heard of him. She believed he is able to save her daughter. She said, have mercy on me. And yet she was praying for her daughter. I tell you what, if God saves my children, if he saves your children, that's a mercy on me. That's an act of mercy on me. She came to him and worshiped. We sang that song. I don't remember which one it was now, but she's standing in awe. Now listen, you haven't worshiped God until you stand in awe of him. You haven't done it. I haven't done it until I stand in awe of him. She gave him the glory that was due unto his name. She called him Lord and Son of David. That's who he is. And she confessed her need to him and would not. She was not going to leave there. And he said, woman, this Gentile dog, who would have thought such faith would come up from that? I tell you what, I want to be such a dog. Lord, let me be such a dog. Let me be your dog. Let me be your dog. And give me some crumbs. This evening, just give me some crumbs that fall from your table. Crumbs of mercy that fall from your table. All right.